If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, if you're following in the Pew Bibles, you're going to find us on page 1012. Mark chapter 8, we're going to read from verse 22 to verse 26, the healing of a blind man in Bethsaida. Mark chapter 8, reading from verse 22 to 26. I do apologize. Earlier I said there was nothing important happening today other than David preaching. It is, of course, my dad's birthday, so there is something important happening today. Sorry. Mark chapter 8. This is what Mark writes. Talking about Jesus and his disciples. Verse 22, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. And when he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and he said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened and his sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." We end our reading there and we ask God to add his blessing to that word. I was saying it was my dad's birthday today. For as long as I've known my dad, he has worn glasses. Back in the 1950s, he had that whole Buddy Holly look, the curly black hair and the black-rimmed glasses. We always used to see the pictures of, he had Buddy Holly albums, and I always thought, that's my dad's record. But no, it wasn't. But growing up, I don't remember ever seeing him without glasses, except if we were somewhere swimming, or first thing in the morning when he woke up and he would find his glasses and he'd put them on. But then in the mid-2000s, he had laser eye surgery, which meant that for the first time since he was a boy, he didn't need to wear glasses except when he reads. So he could watch TV, he could drive, he could walk around with no need for glasses. Where his vision was once blurred, he now had clear vision. And something that was also particularly notable was how clear and how blue his eyes were. So not only was he able to see things more clearly, we could see that he could see things more clearly. It wasn't only him who could notice the difference that the surgery had made to his sight. We could see that difference too. And what we've read this morning in Mark's Gospel is a story about another man whose lack of sight was progressively made better by Jesus. Let's have a look at what's going on here. It tells us that Jesus was visiting a place called Bethsaida. Bethsaida was a small village on the northern shores of Galilee. It literally means the house of fishing. It was a fishing village. It was also the home of Peter and Andrew and Philip. And Jesus had been there a few times. Jesus had performed miracles there. He had taught there. But it was also a place that in spite of all Jesus' activity there, was a place that became known for its unbelief. In Luke chapter 10, verse 13, Jesus says, "Woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre or Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." We can't be certain if the story takes place before or after Jesus utters those words, but maybe it does feed into this theme of blindness, of partial sight, of clarity, that even though Bethsaida would witness some of the miracles and the teachings of Jesus, they still couldn't see clearly who Jesus is. Anyway, Jesus comes to this village and some people bring him a blind man and they ask him to touch this man, to heal this man. So Jesus takes him aside outside of the village and he restores his sight in two stages. The second time because he still can't see clearly after the first time Jesus touches him. And once he is healed, Jesus then says to him, "Go home, don't go back to the village." And that's where our story ends. Now that might be the basics of the story, but there are some strange things that happen in the story, strange things that are said in the story that do raise questions. Why does Jesus take him outside of the village to heal him? Why? What's the story with the spitting? Why does Jesus restore his sight in two stages? What does the man say? He sees men that look like trees walking. And why does Jesus tell him not to go back to the village? So some of these questions can be answered easier than others, but ultimately we need to be careful that we don't miss the bigger picture of what's going on here. We don't know exactly why Jesus spit on the man's eyes to restore his sight. There are different suggestions, but none can be certain. Some have suggested that saliva was sometimes associated with healing in the ancient world. Others have pointed to passages like Deuteronomy 25 verse 9 or Numbers 12 verse 14 where spitting is connected with shame and humiliation. And they're saying what Jesus is doing here is taking something as a symbol of disgrace and turning it into a means of grace. Others have suggested that the saliva may have had practical purposes. Perhaps the man's eyelids were stuck together and Jesus was loosening up the eyelids. But ultimately, Mark doesn't tell us why Jesus used spit. What Mark does tell us, though, is that Jesus is the one who brings the healing. Jesus is the one who helps this man see clearly. And when the man receives his sight, it tells us that it's not yet complete. He can see but not see clearly. He says that he sees people that look like trees walking. It suggests that the man wasn't born blind, because how would he know what trees look like if he was? So perhaps he had some sort of disease that maybe caused blindness over time. Maybe there was an accident of some sort. He knew what trees looked like. And what he might have been seeing was just people walking around with big bundles of wood, carrying bundles of wood on their head, which is something that is still a common practice in some countries. And then finally, Jesus tells him not to go back into the village. That's something that we see often in Mark's gospel. Jesus heals someone, he does something, and then he says to them, don't tell anyone, don't go back to the village and tell people. Jesus isn't seeking popularity. He's not trying to create a crowd around himself. But there's another reason. In Mark 1, after Jesus heals a man with leprosy, Jesus says the same thing to him. Don't tell anyone what's happened. But of course, the man can't keep his mouth shut. He goes and he tells people, and news spreads. And it says that because of that, Jesus could no longer enter towns openly because of the crowds, and that he had to go off to solitary places. Jesus wasn't interested in building a reputation. What Jesus was interested in was people. Let's jump into the nitty-gritty of the story, because there's something deeper than just the healing of this man's sight going on here. When Jesus took the man out of the village, we can safely assume that while he might not have wanted to do what he was about to do in the presence of the people from the village, didn't want to do it in presence of the people of the village. It probably did happen in front of the disciples. And the reason that we can make this assumption is because, well, Mark is always very precise about where he puts his stories. Nothing happens by chance in Mark's gospel. And this story is no exception. Just before this, Jesus had been warning his disciples about the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. But the disciples completely misunderstood him. They thought he was talking about bread. And Jesus challenged them, do you have eyes but fail to see? And then Mark tells us the story about this man whose eyes were opened, but at first only gradually. And eventually Jesus does heal his sight completely and he can see things clearly. And then Mark goes on to tell the story about Peter declaring that Jesus is the Christ. The disciples have shifted from being uncertain and not seeing things clearly to a place where they can now see clearly who Jesus is. And restoring of sight to this blind man plays a key part in them being able to see clearly who Jesus is. So while we mustn't lose sight of this being a deeply personal act of compassion, this is a real story about a real man. Sorry. This is a real story of a real healing of a real person. This is also a living parable. In this miraculous act of healing, Jesus is teaching his disciples something. Jesus restoring this man's sight was an important was important for the disciples' understanding of who Jesus is. Brian, can you switch my microphone off for a moment because I need to cough really loud? Thank you. Yeah, you can all cough loudly now. Okay. What was I saying? Jesus restoring this man's sight was important for the disciples to understand who Jesus is. Restoring sight to the blind was one of the key marks of Jesus' identity as the Messiah. It goes back to the prophetic words of Isaiah 34, verses 4 to 5. Be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. It's also the evidence that Jesus gives to the disciples of John the Baptist when they come and they say to him, are you the Messiah that we're waiting for? And Jesus says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. And of course, when Jesus preaches in the synagogue in Nazareth, when he reads from the scroll of Isaiah, it is the line that sits at the center of what Jesus says. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. In this moment of healing, it is not only the blind man whose eyes are opened. Jesus is making a statement to his disciples about who he is. That's why Peter can say with such certainty in the next section, you are the Messiah. What we're witnessing in this story is the gradual opening of the disciples' eyes to who Jesus really is. It reminds us that being a disciple means being on a journey of discovery, a journey of growing in our understanding of who Jesus is and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It takes time. In fact, it takes a lifetime. The Apostle Paul says, now we see in the mirror dimly, but then the end of our lives, at that time when we see Jesus face to face, then we will see him face to face. Even as Christians, our vision is real, but it's not yet complete. We know Jesus, but we don't yet know him fully. Like the disciples, we are still having our eyes opened. But let's not lose sight, if you'll excuse the pun, of the man and the miracle. Because what is happening here is important. What's happening here is personal and it's relevant to us. There is something intimate happening here, something personal, something intentional from Jesus. Jesus isn't detached from the situation. He knows exactly what he is doing and he chooses to be involved in this man's life. He takes the man by the hand. He leads him away from the crowd. He touches his eyes. He speaks to him. He asks him what he can see. And then when his sight is still incomplete, Jesus touches him again. Every step of the way, Jesus is personally involved. This isn't just another miracle Jesus is adding to his list. This isn't about him building a reputation or a collection of impressive stories. He's not building up a CV of miracles and experiences. Jesus is caring for a person. He treats this man as someone he knows, someone he cares about, someone that he loves. Jesus patiently walks with this man until the work is complete. Last week I was in Romania and Hungary with Exodus, and one of the places that we visited was a small village called Chets. And we met a pastor there called Polly, who was leading a Bible study with members of his church. And there was a young guy there, a young guy with special needs. It was his 18th birthday. He was there with his foster parents. And this young guy loves BMWs, absolutely loves BMWs. So Paulie had arranged a T-shirt for him with the number 18 of it, made up of the BMW badges. On the back was his name, like a number plate. The cake was all BMW themed, and one of the presents, the other presents he gave him was a coffee flask with a BMW on it, and this guy's name printed on it. And when Polly gave him these gifts, and everyone, well, not everyone, but those who can speak Hungarian, sang happy birthday to him in Hungarian, he had the biggest smile on his face. But what will stay with me more than any of that was the hug that he gave Polly. He gave him the biggest, biggest hug. This was a small church in a small village, literally a dead-end village. The road that you come in on is the only road that you can get out of the village on. But in this small village, numbers didn't matter. This was about personal relationships. He might have been hugging Paulie in that moment, but when I looked at it, all I could see was Jesus hugging this boy. That's the kind of personal relationship that Jesus has with this man in the story, that he wants to have with each one of us. Jesus in the story isn't trying to solve a problem. He is caring for a person. That small church in that small village reminded me that the kingdom of God is ultimately not about numbers or visibility or recognition. It's about people. It's about relationships. And that's exactly what we see in Jesus here in this story. He is not simply restoring this man's sight. He is meeting with him personally in that place. There's something there for all of us in this story. Because while this man was physically blind, we all know that we have areas in our lives, or we can have areas in our lives, where our vision isn't as clear as we think it is. We all have our blind spots. We all have things that we don't yet understand about ourselves or about others or even about God. Sometimes we might think that we see things clearly, but Jesus knows where our vision isn't as it should be. And the good news of this passage is that Jesus doesn't abandon us just because we can't see things clearly. He patiently works with us until we see things the way he wants us to see. Like this man was in the physical, so we can be in the spiritual, blind to some things, unclear in others. And in both cases, it is Jesus, sometimes through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, sometimes in partnership with his people, but it is Jesus who helps us to see things more clearly. There's another detail in the story that I don't want us to miss out on. While this man was still blind, Jesus took him by the hand. Before he ever saw Jesus, he experienced Jesus. He was led by Jesus. He heard his voice. He experienced his touch. Before he could look into Jesus' face, he already knew something about Jesus' gentleness and kindness. And perhaps that is something for someone here today. Maybe you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian. Maybe you're here because a friend invited you, because someone brought you along. Maybe you're here because you're simply searching. That's how the story begins. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus. They couldn't restore his sight, but they knew someone who could. And if that's you, don't dismiss the fact that you're here today. This story is an encouragement to you as well. Before this man ever saw Jesus clearly, he had experienced the kindness of Jesus. He felt Jesus' hand on him, leading him, touching his eyes before he could see him. And maybe you've been experiencing the kindness of Jesus lately. Maybe you've not yet reached that place where you can see how Jesus fits into your life, but you have felt something of his love, something of his gentle heart. And so if you find yourself drawn toward Jesus, asking questions, wanting to know him, don't ignore that, because it might be his hand reaching out to you. And while there's no pressure, there is definitely an invitation. Over the past few weeks, we've been thinking about the season of summer. And as I said earlier, given the recent weather, yes, we can call it summer. But we've been thinking about how for many this is a season of recreation, but it can also be a season of recreation. A few weeks back, we looked at Romans 8 and we saw how God is at work in all aspects of our lives, in every situation, using them as opportunities to reshape us, to make us more like Jesus, more like the image of God that we were created to carry. 2 weeks ago, we thought about how Jesus spoke about the vine and the branches and invited us to remain in him so that he could do that transforming work in us. Last week, Darren looked at Jesus' invitation to rest in him, to learn from him, to lay aside the burden that we carry that is so heavy and to take up his yoke that is easy and that is light. And today we've seen how Jesus comes alongside us, wanting to restore our sight so that we can see him and the world around us more clearly. From time to time, we need these seasons of reshaping and remaining and resting and restoration in our lives. In a world that is so busy, that demands so much of us, it's important that we intentionally make time and space in our lives for these seasons, for these moments. When Jesus invites us to follow him, he invites us into a discipling relationship with him. And it's important to remember that discipleship is learning to keep coming back to Jesus again and again for clearer sight. So as we approach the halfway point of summer holidays, don't let the season pass you by. A season where the rhythms look slightly different. A season where you can rest and reconnect and remain and be restored. So shall we pray? God, as you restored this man's sight, will you help us to see things more clearly? Will you help us to see who you are more clearly? Will you help us to see who we are more clearly? Help us to see ourselves the way you see us, as people worthy and worth dying on the cross for, because you love us so much. Not because of anything we've done, but simply because of your sin. That is where our worth comes from, your love for us. Your love for us. And so, Jesus, will you open up our eyes to see as you see, to see one another, to see the world, to see what are the threats and the dangers, to see the sneakiness of the enemy, to see the wonder of your love and your grace. And so, God, as we go from this place, will you go before us? Will you make our paths straight? Will you lift up the valleys and lower the mountains? Will you show us the places where you want us to go and the people that you want us to speak to? And will we go in the power of your Spirit, in the love of Jesus, knowing that with eyes wide open, with hearts full of love, with attitudes of gentleness and kindness, with words that speak of love and joy and peace, Lord, will you send us into this world to be the ones who reach out and touch, the ones who take hands and lead, the ones who restore sight to the blind, and to see your kingdom come. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.